You're listening to Speak Free with Simon O'Connor, right here on RCR, Reality Check Radio.
Delighted to have back on the show Tania Unkevich, the New Zealand First MP, who's already been incredibly busy. I try to keep an eye on most of the MPs, and there's 120 of them. But Tania's been very busy. So, Tania, welcome back to the show.
Oh, hello again. It's always my honour to be here with RCR and, of course, your good self, Simon.
Hey, well, last time we chatted was very much about yourself and what drew you into Parliament and your background. But I thought this time we should hit a little bit of policy. And I know a number of listeners will be very interested what is happening around the COVID inquiry. And I know you, Winston Peters and the team, I think have been, well, you've been very vocal in this space. So tell us what's happened.
Yes, no, we have been very vocal in this space. You know, we campaigned on it, and Winston announced back in November, it was way before November, up in Whangarei, that we were going to do a COVID inquiry. So he's been speaking about it a lot. We've campaigned on it. We have listened. And as many know already, that the phase two of the inquiry is going to start in November 2024. And this is going to include a lot of the things that were not included in the first one, which many people reached out to us and said, hey, what's going on? So it'll be all about the use of the vaccines during the pandemic, the vaccine mandates, safety, approval, and also monitoring and reporting of the adverse reactions to the vaccines. So we are very, very happy to be able to deliver on this.
Is it going to be a new board or commission? I don't have all the right language in front of me. So if it's a second inquiry, we're going to see a new yes. set of people leading that?
Yes, well, we do have a new commissioner, and it is Grant Illingworth, I believe.
Illingworth, I beg your pardon.
Yes. So he's a litigation specialist that will be a new commissioner. So that is something that everyone really wanted. So that is great. I'm so thrilled that we are able to deliver on that. We've listened and we're delivering.
Do you know if it's also going to be looking at sort of the economic effects and so forth, or is that being part of part one? I have to admit to listeners, I'm not as au fait and over the top of the, if you will, all the technical elements of the inquiry. So do you know, Tania, of just how broad the second commission is going to go?
Yes, it will include social and economic impacts, you know, especially the social division and the isolation. We all experienced it one way or another. And, you know, we're all carrying a little bit of sorrow inside of what went on. So that is definitely going to be able to be looked at in more depth. The effect of the extended lockdowns in Auckland and Northland, you know, what it's done to businesses, what it's done to, you know, the solopreneur who had their own business going. So there is a lot going to be covered in this one, in this second inquiry. Mm.
It won't surprise you with your public-facing role, but I find even with my work, pleasurable work, I might hear, working here at RCR, actually the feedback from people, there is still that very, very deep hurt and that desire to express what they went through and to be listened to. Am I right? And yes. I hope I'm not mixing things up, but I think New Zealand First, you were deployed, for want of a better word, the agree to disagree provision around this.
Yes. No, we used that because we couldn't see the need to carry on with the first commission, the first inquiry, beg your pardon. So that is why we used that. But anyway, we've got the second one, and it's going to cover everything that we wanted and what we campaigned on. So that's the main thing.
Oh, definitely. I think, look, a huge win to have that wider inquiry. Look, for what it's worth, I'd prefer to have just seen, as you say, the existing one wrapped up and only have one. I can see mischief in the future, and that's not a reflection on the government's decision here. But, you know, when there's two reports and two commissions, people might cherry pick. So I think, you know, for what my view is worth, it's the right thing you were calling for to have one commission. But look, thanks for that work to bring about what you have. The other contentious yes. issue, of course, is always the therapeutics product bill or law.
Yes.
I used to deal with this, Tania, when I chaired the health committee, and it was a dog and a nightmare back then. So what's happening now?
Well, we've introduced legislation to scrap the therapeutic Products Act. So it's a bit of a mouthful, isn't it, getting that out all in one sentence? So it's wonderful. It'll be repealed and it will make way for a modern risk proportionate regulatory regime for medicines and medical devices now. So we're very happy to have announced that. Casey Costello, the Honourable Casey Costello, is all over that and working very hard on that.
Yeah, it's been, a real mess. I remember grappling with it, must have been 10 years ago. Very, very complicated because, of course, you want to acknowledge that people have a range of therapeutics they want to access. Yes. Is that going to go ultimately through to, well, is it a repeal bill? That'll move through fairly quickly. Then work is now beginning on a new bill.
Well, that's in Casey's hands and nothing is announced about that, but the repeal will, yeah, hopefully it won't take too long.
Well, I'm sure listeners and myself will be keeping a close eye on it. As I say, it was a fraught bill years ago, got even more fraught in the last government, but good news there as well. If I might, you've also had a big week. That was last week when the report around abuse in state and church care was tabled. I imagine, without going into the details, because we don't have time, but I imagine quite an emotional time, obviously, for those in the parliamentary gallery, but also for MPs.
Oh, very much so. You know, it's hard to listen to, but we must listen to it. And it's, for many of us, it triggers us. You know, it takes us all back to something, doesn't it, at times? And it's about feeling what's going on for ourselves, but also really hearing and acknowledging the pain and suffering of what those people went through. So it was a big week, a big day, and it's something that we shouldn't forget. You know, just because it was last week, it needs to be in the forefront of our minds.
I think it's one of the big challenges, actually. Things move so fast in life in general, let alone in Parliament. And speaking of moving fast, yes, as I've watched some of your social media, you've been out visiting, is it Hospice New Zealand or a few hospices? You've got quite an interest in the palliative care space as well on a more personal level.
Oh, very much so. I've done a lot of work in the grief space. And as many know, I was widowed 20 years ago and have written books on grief. And when I did my diploma in counselling, I specialised in grief. So a lot of the work I've done is in the grief space. And interestingly, even in the life coaching work I've done, often, you know, you have to deal with stuff that's going on for people. And what is so often buried underneath the stuff on the surface is unresolved grief. So I am so aware of the importance of people who are at the end stage of their life to be able to die with dignity and grace, and also for family involved to have access to the bereavement care that they need. So that's why I have a real love in this area. It's one of the things, you know, being able to be beside my late husband, Phil, and my parents as they were taking their final breath has been the most important work I've personally ever done. And for me to stand up and hold the flag for hospice, for people at the end stage of their life and families, is something I really want to do while I am in Parliament, and I will do everything I can to forward something in that space.
Well, I'm biased, but I think it's wonderful. It's a really, really important space. Look, I'm going to end on a cheeky question. You can hang up if you need, but Health New Zealand, which does seem in a little bit of trouble at the moment if you're reading the news, but they put out some guidelines recently, or some refreshed guidelines or leaked guidelines around, is it gender affirming care or something in that space? But basically the question is, and I'm sorry to put you on the mat, but can men menstruate? There we go. I've said it on radio.
Oh, you've said it on air. Oh, look, I'm just, in my personal opinion, no. It's sad that we should even be asking these questions, right? So yes, I'll give you my personal opinion. No, that would be a no.
Well, thank you, and thank you for indulging a cheeky question, but one of these things that has to be out at
all
times.
Right. Tanya,
thank you
right.
so
I don't
much.
Mind.
Well, thank you for making the time to come back on. We're looking forward to welcoming more of your colleagues across the House. So if you can do us here at RCR a favour, and myself, is when you're bumping into colleagues from the blue, red, green or other teams, of course, and your own, encourage them to come on. We'd love to hear from them. But thank you for what you're doing. Thanks for talking us through everything.
It is my absolute pleasure.
Are you on the RCR mailing list? Never miss a beat of the news and hard-hitting stories you've come to know and love. Stay in the loop. Visit realitycheck.radio/email.